Yeah, it's a huge honor. You know, it's I think of it like being an Olympian, and you know, you go and you're a hockey player, and then all of a sudden you get to the Olympics and you walk into the opening ceremonies as part of Team Canada, and you're no longer just a hockey player or a skier or a speed skater. You're part of something bigger. And so to be inducted into a hall like this that recognizes so many great athletes that you know, inspired me as a young girl in various sports is certainly really humbling, and it's definitely something I'm very proud of.
So it's got to be kind of cool for you with Cassie already in here, Danielle and Geraldine. It's got to be pretty cool to join some former teammates and people that, you know, you came up through the ranks with and won so much with.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, women's hockey is such a rich history, and those players, Geraldine and Angela James and Cassie and Danielle Goyette, they all were people I looked up to and I watched as a young girl, had the opportunity to play with them as I came into the program. And so to be included in a group like that is a huge honor, and I think it symbolizes that rich history that we have as a sport.
So tonight's gala, you're going to be on stage with Cassie. So that'll be, that's got, like, I would imagine that there's some pretty, Cassie's a good friend of the program. So yeah. I know the stories that she can tell. So I'd imagine you guys have got some pretty good stories from over the years.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous for that interview. I don't know where she's going to go with it. She's got a lot of stories. So we'll see, but it'll be fun. And Cassie's, you know, one of my favorite people, good friend, and someone that I admire so much. So it's going to be nice to be able to sort of share the stage with her.
I gotta be honest, now you know her better than I do, but you know, having gotten to know Cassie over the last number, like, is there anybody better? Like, you can't win a battle of wits and a battle of chirping with her. Like, I don't even bother, because she'll win every time.
Well, we try. We've got some good stuff on her too.
Yeah?
So
okay.
So yeah, but you're right, she's pretty quick at times.
With Jaina Hefford, who is one of the honored members, or soon to be honored members, of the Canada Sports Hall of Fame. She's part of the class of 2019. Okay, take me back to the beginning, and you know, going back to your time in Ontario, how did you start playing hockey? How did you get introduced into the sport?
Well, I have a family that's very much loved the game. My dad played. I have an older brother who played. My mom was just involved in sports. And so from as long as I can remember, I wanted to play hockey. I had a passion that I think was just innate. And fortunately, they encouraged that passion, and they could see how much I loved the game and allowed me to play it and encouraged me to play. And so from then on, hockey was sort of the thing that I always loved the most. And fortunate to have that support system growing up.
So going back to, how old were you when you started playing?
I started playing at about 6.
Okay, so tell me about the opportunities as a 6-year-old when you were first starting to play. I know they're way more now, but what about back then?
Yeah, you know, I was still the generation where not a lot of women were playing the game, or young girls. And, you know, my parents put me in ringette for the first game, and I didn't really notice until I got out there and realized it wasn't hockey. And
yeah.
So shortly after that first game, I said, you know, I wanted to play hockey. So they got me on a hockey team, and it was a boys team. So I was the only girl at the time playing there. And there was two girls teams in Kingston, and one was a women's team and one was a girls team. And that was it. So to see the growth of the game now, it's just so rewarding to see, you know, the women before me that sort of weren't allowed to play, and then my generation who very few played, and now it's normalized, which is really cool.
So when did you realize that, hey, I might be pretty good at this?
Well, you know, I think I always had some pretty good success in the game, and I just loved it so much I didn't think beyond how much I loved to play the game. And then my first real opportunity, I guess, to play at a different level would have been when I played on Team Ontario at 15 years old, and that was my first chance to play against other provinces, then played in the Canada Winter Games when I was 17, and then made the national team at 19. So you know, those steps just sort of happened along the way, but it was always just, you know, all I want to do was play the game, and, mm-hmm. and I just played wherever I could and whatever level I was able to.
So take me back to 1998. And that's the first time women's hockey had been in the Olympics. And we knew at the time it was going to be a showdown between Canada and the United States. And I just remember, you know, reading the previews leading into the 98 games in Nagano. And it was like a guarantee. Both hockey teams were going to win gold medals. And so here you are representing Canada on the biggest stage of all. And it doesn't happen. And the United States wins that medal. I know that it's probably easier to reflect on it now, knowing what happened afterwards, but take me back to 1998 and how it felt then.
Yeah, that was for sure the biggest disappointment in my career. And I was a young player at the time, but certainly I think we understood that there was a lot of pressure to win. And to be quite honest, the Canadian women's team had never lost an international competition. So I think a lot of people just assumed we would win. And the rivalry between Canada and the U.S. is as heated now as it was then. And the teams are as close now as they were then. So certainly wasn't a foregone conclusion that we would win. But when you feel like you put so much into it and then you don't win, it was a huge disappointment, and in a lot of ways felt like we had let people down. And it was friends and family, and you feel like all the work you put in wasn't worth it. I think some of the most important lessons I learned came through that season, and that feeling of losing, that never got lost on me for the rest of my career. So I think it certainly fueled me throughout my career as well.
Okay, so had you known that you were going to win the next four, would you have been, and if the deal was, okay, you got to lose once, but then you got to win the next four, like, would you have taken that at the time?
if that deal was on the table, I'd take four for one, but,
that one still stings.
It still stings, yeah. You still feel that, and, we're disappointed. That was the first, Olympic gold medal in women's hockey, and you want to be a part of that history on the good side. And so it's still disappointing, but definitely, happy with the way the rest turned out.
Well, okay, so then take me to 4 years later in Salt Lake and another showdown with the United States. Take me back to 2002 and just how the officiating was against you. And again, you had a whole country on your side, and this time it's being played in North America, so all the eyes are on it. Just take me back to that and the feeling of winning in 2002.
Yeah, if I had to, I've had a lot of moments, but if I had to say one, it would have been winning in 2002 for so many reasons. It was our first gold medal we could bring home to Canada. It was redemption after 98. We were a team that had a really difficult season leading up, a lot of adversity throughout the year. Kind of had the Cinderella story with the officiating, being in the U.S. So it was kind of a perfect storm for the underdog story, and that accomplishment was something we're really proud of, certainly. And again, to be able to bring the gold medal home to Canada was really great.
And I know that the most recent gold medal, that from an actual in-game perspective, that had to be one of the craziest. So talking about 2014 in Sochi, that had to be one of the craziest games you ever were a part of.
Yeah, I'd never played in one like that before, and ended up being my final game with the national team, so a pretty good way to end it. But to win a gold medal in overtime, down two goals with less than 4 minutes to go, and it's really hard to explain. And I was able to see a video after of my friends and family who were all back in Toronto at a bar watching the game, and it showed the emotion of people watching the game, and it was amazing to see. That roller coaster of emotion from fans. I know what it was like with our team, but the feeling we had within our group was one of just calm and one of confidence, and really proud of that group and the way we fought until the end and put in an effort that we could be proud of.
Okay, so you tie that game, and I remember a colleague of mine said, "Well, they're going to win, and it's going to be Marie-Philippe." But did you know it was going to be her who won it on the bench too?
No, I wouldn't say I knew that, but if you had to bet on a player, she's always a good bet. Once we got the first goal, the momentum, you could feel it, and then the second one, it just kind of kept building. And we knew going into overtime, we just had to kind of continue to roll with that momentum. And didn't mean we were going to win. It was certainly pretty back and forth in the overtime. But when you get that final goal, it was really just a feeling of really earning it, right? It's like we did the work. We didn't give up. We didn't give in. And just sort of earning it was something that was really rewarding. And to see a player like Marie-Philippe score the winning goal, I mean, it doesn't get much better than that.
Did you know, well, like what, at the time, how it was received back here? Because you're so far away, but yeah. I mean, that was received, but like it was a party back here. Like, did you were you aware of that while you were celebrating?
Not over there. I mean, you call home and you talk to people that are excited, but obviously they're your real close friends and family that, of course, would be excited. But when you get to come home from the Olympic Games and share the medal and hear the stories and, you know, those stories, I still hear them when I meet people today. So you never really have an understanding of that impact, I don't think, but it's always nice to hear when you get a chance to talk to people who have really great memories of those moments. And that's the power of sport when you're in a room like this in the Hall of Fame, and it brings you right back to those moments and how you felt and who you were with and the sense of pride. And that's really the power of it.
With Jana Hefford, she is part of the class of 2019 for the Canada Sports Hall of Fame, chatting with her here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. So, that was your final game with the national team. Did you know going into that Olympics that was going to be your last one, or was it a decision that was made after the fact?
I was pretty sure that would be my last one. Going into Vancouver, I didn't know how long I'd play after that, but I always kind of had that feeling I was going to keep going. Going into Sochi, I was pretty sure that would be it, but I tried not to focus on that and really just kind of focus on the moment and let things take care of themselves later. So I certainly didn't make any announcements or tell anyone. I wanted to make sure that I was there in that game for the right reasons, and turned out to be a great final game for my career.
I love asking all of your teammates and contemporaries this program, this question rather. So, you know, you have the 7 world championship gold medals, a number of silvers, you've got your 4 gold and 1 silver at the Olympics, and all the showdowns with the United States. And you talked about it a little earlier, talking about that rivalry. When I tell people who aren't aware, I'm like, look, this rivalry, it's Red Sox, Yankees, it's Maple Leafs, Canadians. It's like you want to point to a rivalry across any sport, across the world. I don't know if there's a more bitter one than Canada and the United States, but you lived it, like, on the ice. I know that off the ice it's not the same necessarily, but on the ice, how much do those two teams despise one another?
Yeah, it's a crazy intense rivalry, but in a lot of ways it's really healthy too. Being in a sport like women's hockey that's still growing and is still relatively young, I think you understand that rivalry is part of the growth of the game, and it's what intrigues people. It's the game that people want to see. But then when you're in it, you train thinking about that USA jersey or that USA flag. And you, as I said, in 98, I've never lost that feeling. And the disappointment there and the feeling we had standing on the blue line watching another country's flag be raised. So that hits you hard, and you don't lose that. And but those are also the games you want to play in. They're so much fun, and you know that you've got to bring your best performance to beat that team, because you know they're going to bring their best.
Just a few more, and your post playing career and your time with the CWHL as the commissioner. You'd be the perfect person to ask. I know there's been a lot of news recently. Where is the game on the women's side right now, and just your overall observation of what we've seen of late?
Well, you know, I think there's never been more momentum for the women's game than there is right now, simply because of how good the game is, how great our athletes are coming out of NHL All-Star Weekend. It opened people's eyes to the quality of athletes that we have. Certainly the last number of weeks have been disappointing and sad in some ways, but in all other ways they're creating a lot of positive conversation and change, and I'm extremely optimistic for the future of the sport. And the athletes are very proud of the solidarity they're showing and the unity, and they're standing up for themselves and for the next generation of female hockey players. And I think there's nothing but really great things to come for women's hockey. But sometimes with that change and that uncertainty, there's difficult times, but there's also a big light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm really excited for the sport and for the athletes to see what's to come.
Professionally, what are the next steps that need to happen in your eyes, and you'd be a perfect person to ask, being a commissioner in the past?
Well, you know, I think the next version of a women's professional hockey league has to have some real solid infrastructure behind it and resources, and that's a lot of what the players have talked about. But, you know, we want something that is sustainable, that's going to build over time, that's going to allow the game to grow and advance. And unfortunately, the model we had, as successful as it was on the ice, the business side of the model didn't allow for that growth and that advancement of the sport. And so, you know, moving forward, we need those resources. We need the infrastructure. And I believe the NHL plays a role in that. So, you know, we'll see where things fall over the next little bit. But lots of uncertainty, but lots of excitement.